Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. I hope you have had a good week. And as you know, if you listen regularly, in the first hour, we look at timeless issues underlying current events, politics, and our daily lives. And in the second hour, we explore the lives and work of artists, hoping that in this way, maybe we can gain insights into life or perhaps become inspired to think about things in new ways. And I wanted to let you know, in the second hour, I am pleased to be interviewing iconic photographer and photojournalist Bob Fitch. And Bob's photo archives are a principal source for the iconic images of the peace, social justice, and cultural movements of the last 60 years, including intimate photo documentary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the Black Civil Rights Movement, Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers, and Dorothy Day and the Catholic Workers, amongst many other participants in this vibrant period of history. So that's coming up in the second hour of the show. Right now, our topic this week is, do we still need physical community? I've been giving some thought to the fact that with the rise of technology, we are increasingly becoming more individualized. And so I'm wondering whether virtual community could replace physical community. As usual, I've been out and about interviewing people on the street and getting their opinions. First, let's hear what James had to say. Hi, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
James.
Hi, James. Well, thanks very much for stopping for our Out and About feature this week. And this week, our topic is, do we still need physical community? Community can be defined as a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. So I'm just wondering, do we still need physical community in this sense, or can an internet community suffice?
I think we still do need physical community. I think an internet community can be valuable and important and useful for fulfilling a sense of community for many people. However, I think I don't think it satisfies certain physiological needs of being in the physical presence of somebody.
So is that what community means to you, a sort of physical sense of belonging?
Part of it means a physical sense of belonging. You need an emotional and an intellectual sense of belonging as well, which can be achieved electronically, I believe. However, I think it is complemented by a physical sense of belonging that is difficult to achieve. I mean, I imagine some people could argue if you could trick the brain into thinking that it is receiving that physical sensation of somebody's presence, then maybe you could achieve the community entirely electronically or via internet or digital communication. But until they've done that, I think there's certain stimuli that the brain interprets only through real physical presence that they haven't quite figured out how to digitize yet.
Right. I mean, there definitely, as you say, still seems to be a difference when you meet people like we're meeting in the street now. There's a lot of cues and a feeling of a sense of each other that we're getting that is totally absent when you meet someone online, for instance. So is that part of what you're saying, you know, is the difference?
That's a good example. Nonverbal communication, right, is an important part of communicating with people. And it's more difficult to achieve that via electronic, but it still is being done, though. I mean, that's what emoticons are. And the popularity of emoticons and the fact that you see them almost anywhere where you see electronic communication, or in everyday electronic communication, to me suggests that there is a lot of that you can do electronically. Although, again, it's still limited because it's easier, I think, to fool somebody via electronic, whereas nonverbal behavior, a lot of it is happening unconsciously and is interpreted unconsciously.
Yes.
Which doesn't happen online as much.
It also seems that in a lot of online situations, quantity trumps quality in terms of the members of a community. And it's so easy just to sort of click like or, you know, make a quick comment. I'm just wondering whether you feel the depth of community one might actually have virtually is not the same as the depth one has with people physically.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think that the... I'm not sure what the question is.
Do you think that you can build up deep senses of community with people online, or do you think it tends to be more shallow? And people just have a sense of like, oh, I've got all this, you know, people who have similar likes to me, but there isn't that real sort of deep connection. It's just shallower.
I think that it is much easier to proliferate shallow relationships. On the other hand, I think there is a significant amount of very deep relationships that occur online or via electronic relationships. I think... So it does not, I don't know if I'm using the right words, preclude depth of relationship.
Yeah.
And I think many people have become strongly bonded via intellectual through words, only words.
Right.
And a very deep bond can occur before someone even meets.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
It's an empirical question as to how often that happens compared to how often the shallow relationships happen.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. I imagine there's shallow relationships in person, though.
I mean,
we live in a culture where people will say, I'm doing fine, just because that's the protocol when someone asks you how you're doing.
In fact,
oftentimes people will say, how are you? And then they'll respond, how are you? And then they walk on their separate ways.
Yes, yeah.
That's in person.
Yeah.
And how isolating is that for somebody who isn't doing so well and feels like they can't truly communicate with that person because of the protocol of being courteous and polite?
Yeah. Yeah,
that same person might find a very deep connection electronically where that protocol doesn't exist or another protocol is functioning.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose what you were saying about the communication through words, that would be akin to maybe a long letter writing in the past.
That's right.
Where people engaged through a correspondence.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm wondering, your comments made me think, do you think that community generally, whether it be virtual or physical, has lessened? Do you think that we find it harder to find real community in whichever sense?
Again, that's... I have... So
in your opinion.
My opinion, so it's hard because my opinion, I always want to refer to like, well, there's social scientists who study this and could tell us.
Yeah.
That there's some research that might suggest one thing or the other.
Yeah.
My gut says, your question was, has communication become more shallow since the advent of...
Do you think that we have less community, less sort of sense of a connection with people who are like-minded, a sense of belonging than we used to?
No, I think we have more.
Okay.
I think that because of the internet, a person who normally would not physically be able to find the person that's weird or unique and like them can now find a whole community of those people online.
Okay.
So just as an example, I mean, there's all kinds of different kinds of weird cancer, for example, or, you know, that people online now can find very quickly, almost instantly, I mean, you know, with a little bit of research, a community that... of people that are experiencing the same thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, a person with average income, you know, with some bizarre, like, I don't know, disorder or condition, where would they be able to go to find other people who have experienced the same thing as them? They probably wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
And now they can do it.
Yeah.
And that in online communication often might facilitate the physical meeting with those people and becoming friends with people who maybe they would never 20 years ago have been able to connect with or even know existed.
Yeah. That's true, and in a more positive sense, I suppose, if you have a weird interest in pink socks or something like that, you can find those people as well. So would you say then that we do still need physical community, but virtual community has added another layer to what is out there for us?
yes, I think we need physical, again, until we figure out some kind of way to trick the brain into reading all these nonverbal cues electronically, which who knows, they might have it in the near future.
Yeah.
But that is an important part of feeling community and feeling safe. However, the internet has shrunk our world so that you can communicate. You have access to people. You have access to a community that you didn't even know existed. You can create a community. You have farther reach.
Right.
To find community, you have a bigger, greater ability to find community than you did before.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts. I really appreciate
it. You're welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and our topic discussion this week, do we still need physical community? Well, next up, I spoke to Rachel. Let's hear what she had to say.
Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Rachel.
Well, hi, Rachel. Thanks very much for stopping for our Out and About feature this week. And this week, our topic is, do we still need physical community? With the rise of technology, we're increasingly becoming more individualized and physically isolated. So do we still need a physical community, sense of physical community? Or can internet community suffice, do you think?
Well, I know I need a physical community myself, and I rely on that almost on a daily basis.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So what does community mean to you?
Oh, well, right now in my life, it means support in different areas of my life. Because right now I'm expanding as a human being, I actually need support of different teachers or mentors in my life. So those are people that I rely on a lot.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So with physical community, there's a different sense perhaps of being able to experience nonverbal communication, to sort of sense somebody's energy. Is that something that you think appeals to you about it? Or what are the aspects of a physical community that are better for you?
There's one thing I really like. I see people.
Right.
Around, you know, just walking down the street this evening, I've seen at least 5 people that I've known from somewhere in my life and in an area of a square block.
Mm.
So just like to me, like having those people around is important, you know. I don't know, just having seeing people around that I know is important. Did I answer your question?
Yes. Do you also take part in virtual communities?
A little bit, yeah, but it's really not something I have time for right now. I'm really busy with work and I guess the physical community.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's...
So for you, really, physical community totally trumps the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it has something to do with just my generation.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, or just where I am right now. It's just I'm too busy. If I was at home isolating, then I'm sure that the virtual community would be something that I would be reaching out to.
Right. Yeah. One aspect people have brought up is that through the internet, it's possible to find community with people you might not meet otherwise. So for perhaps unusual interests or strange medical conditions or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Is that an aspect of community you could see being positive over the internet?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've actually have found a whole new group of people through the internet that I would not have found.
Right.
And
do you see them physically as well? Or
all the time.
Ah, so you've actually used the virtual community to enhance your physical community.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
so I guess anything used in a positive light, you know. It's just right now I'm trying to create balance in my life, so I would have to have some form of balance. If I was, you know, like on the internet, it probably wouldn't do me any good right now to like be on it all the time, but I definitely recently have taken advantage of finding things of interest that I would not have been able to find just out here in the world.
But it sounds like you couldn't imagine that replacing physical community.
No, it cannot replace it, but it can enhance it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for your thoughts. I appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, thanks.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more interviews for Out and About after these messages.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made desserts in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Do you like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Welcome back to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our question that matters this week, do we still need physical community? Well, the next conversation I had for Out and About was with Tiffany, so let's hear her thoughts.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany. Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature this week. And our topic this week is, do we still need physical community? One participant in a survey described community as about belonging. It's a place that supports me in many ways, friends, neighbours, jobs, resources, playtime, it's home. So do we still need this physical sense of community, or can virtual community provide these things, do you think?
A physical community is absolutely necessary.
Okay, so why? What does it give you?
It's real connection. I feel like we have a truer understanding of what the other person's about, what they've been through, what their experience is, and you have a shared understanding of how real life is, and what also you learn so many new things from talking to people face-to-face versus online, where we have an opportunity to censor ourselves or create a false image, and also to change timing, and the real world is so much more more flawed and wonderful and understanding and exciting. I have a son, and he's two, and so real world interactions are what my whole life is about. And I appreciate that we have neighbors that we can communicate with and that he can play with, and that it's not just setting something up online, play day. You know, we'll meet at 2 p.m. and then something comes up and people can easily, when they're not around you, say, oh no, I can't do it anymore. And they have this fake sense of busyness that allows them to check out and feel like they still talk to you because they sent you a message. And in reality, that's not real communication. That's not real relationship. But you have this false sense of maintenance because you check in every once in a while. You scroll past someone's pictures. And it's really deceiving because then we can feel busy all the time and yet still very empty. So it's nice to have the true interaction, even if it's, we spend, you know, 10 hours on Facebook a day and 25 minutes talking to someone. It's so much more enriching. So that's, I guess, why.
You're talking about a fake sense of busyness. I'm wondering whether, I mean, obviously a lot of people do have a sense of community from the internet, but I'm wondering how fake that might be. It's so easy to just like something or just put a quick comment and like you say, scroll through a few pictures. And do you think that people have perhaps a perception of the community that's created that's false, really?
Oh, definitely, because I see one picture of you at the zoo with your family and you look amazing, but the rest of the time, like, you actually look horrible in your leggings from the waist down, you wore the completely inappropriate shoes, and your day was totally different. You know, there was tears, there was laughter, there was so much more that happens. And so, yeah, I got a false sense of how your day was at the zoo. I mean, it could have been a failure, but you look great standing next to an ape. But the false sense of busyness is really just that any spare moment we have, we can pull out our phone and look and see what everyone else is doing, and then we feel like we've engaged with them. And then when somebody asks us, if we're constantly feeling every spare second we have, we're like, I've been busy all day. Because I went from thing to thing to thing, and then every spare moment, I went to the bathroom and I was checking. I sat in my car for 2 seconds and I was checking my phone. And so then when we are invited to do something in the real world, in the physical sense, it's there we're exhausted by our day, you know? And so we have this sense that we're so busy interacting with people, and really we haven't. We've just maybe just been staring at a picture, or we like it. And you know, to be honest, when people like my picture, I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's real.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and comments don't make it better. It doesn't feel like a real, true closeness. And so I think that also people can reconnect with someone that they used to know and feel like, oh my gosh, and it's like, you just want to spy on me. We're not cool anymore. We don't talk. You don't, when I saw you at the grocery store, you were like, oh, and you know, we didn't even exchange numbers. Don't turn around and ask me to follow me on Facebook. Like, are you kidding me? Spy? No, that's creepy.
Yeah.
So I think it does create a false sense of like kindness.
Right.
But that may not be there. It's like, oh, look at her. I'll like her picture. But then you turn around and you talk to your friend. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's, I don't know. There's tons of room for insincerity.
Yes.
So yeah. I guess that's why I think it's false. God, I talk so much.
It's fine. Do you think that there's somebody else that I interviewed was talking about how if you have a strange interest or even, you know, a rare medical condition or something like that, that you can find community through the internet to support you, you know, the people that you may never have found previously. Do you see that as a positive community through a virtual community?
Totally. And there's also resources online called meetups where you can find people like-minded, have similar situations, the resources that you can actually seek out in the real world.
Right.
Meetings you can go to. Oh, I like cycling downhill. Okay. Well, there's a group of us that do that every Saturday, you know. And so while it's a good resource for information and experience, I think it should ultimately lead to something in a physical sense where you can turn around and find like-minded people in your community, neighborhood, etc.
Yes. I'm wondering also, when you're talking, I've just been thinking whether our interaction with virtual communities is much more simplified than we actually feel. You know, the emotions and that you can convey, like you like something. It's like if someone says, I just went to my mother's funeral and post a picture, you like it just like you do a little dog video or whatever. So I'm just wondering also whether physical community allows a more complex
interaction?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, I feel like at times when there's people I interact with online and something sad has happened or worrisome, someone's in the hospital, everyone just says, oh, prayers, sending prayers and hugs. And it's like, well, I don't pray and I can't hug you. So I don't have anything to offer because it's not in the physical sense. So I feel at a loss, really.
Yes.
So it's simplified to the point where it's almost impotent.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, from a work perspective, do you feel a lot of people starting to work from home, you know, home offices, and maybe only going to the only going into the office once a week? Do you feel that we still need physical community with our work colleagues? Is that a different scenario, or would you still see it in the same way?
I think it depends on the job, you know, but I certainly believe at least a portion could be done online. I personally enjoy having work colleagues and having that interaction, because I feel like when I know what's going on with other people in other departments, I have a better understanding of how my job interacts with them. And I feel like you can ultimately do a better job and be a better coworker when you understand, versus if someone just sends you a message and says, I need this. It's better when you know that person. If you've had a bagel with them, if you've rolled your eyes at the same thing, if you've been at the same pointless meeting, if you've interacted and have that shared experience. Yeah, I think it's valuable, but necessary? Who knows? I mean, we may be heading into like Logan's Run days. I don't really know. At which point, my expiration date is approaching.
Yeah, well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm for physical community, I think. I mean, I think perhaps they both have something to offer, but I definitely don't think one replaces the other.
Yeah, no, I feel like the physical is what community is, and online digital is what communication is. But I think that it's expanded on its options and its functions in order to serve a community of people who we grow apart and we move around, and really it's wonderful. I can't imagine what it's like for mothers who had to wait for letters from their sons who were at war,
right, yeah.
And now we can Skype. You know what I mean? Men and women miss lots of family things, and that's very difficult, and I'm glad that we've expanded on the things that are available digitally. But does it define community? Will it eventually? No, I don't think it can.
Yeah. And do you think also that an aspect of physical community is actually physical, is being able to hug people, to actually, I mean, obviously not in all relationships, but, you know.
I was gonna say, oh my God, I hate hugs.
Do you think there's an element of that, or is it just the physical nature of us being able to read nonverbal communication as well and sense each other's sort of energy?
Oh my gosh, it's hugely important, I feel like. I love seeing people. I love being around people. I work as an esthetician, so I do facials and waxing and stuff. And I used to work as a social networking person in a desk online, interacting with people all the time. Right. It was horrible. I died inside. It was really soul sucking. For me personally, just my personality. Yeah. I love being around people and having that interaction. I'm feeling like it's so valuable, because we spend so much of our day, even though it's very physical, in Target or doing whatever we're doing. We just glance at each other and move on.
Yeah.
And so that opportunity to see someone's facial expression of when they look tired or when they say, how are you, for them to look genuine or for, I feel like we can be so much more understanding of each other. And that's really important is for us to understand each other. We can grow so much. We have the willingness to learn about other people when you can see them and feel. So I think it's hugely important to see people. You're adorable. So I gain that, because if you were like on the radio, I'd be like, oh, she's British. That's exciting. But, you're adorable in person, so that makes it better. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate your opinion, especially the last one. That was great. Yeah, now I'm just joking. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
Well, that was great hearing from Tiffany there. Next up for Out and About is Sam, so let's hear her thoughts.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Sam.
Hi, Sam. Well, thanks for stopping for our Out and About feature. This week, we're thinking about, do we still need physical community? Community can be defined as a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Some may say that you can do that in a virtual sense as well. So I'm just wondering, do you think we still need physical community?
I like the idea of solidarity, and I think that that's something that can be done in a lot of ways, like physical community. As far as like being in the presence of another person, I feel like that is really important for solidarity and community and stuff like that. But in a virtual way, there's a way to do that. I think it has less of an impact because you're not like looking into somebody's eyes and you're not like directly pulling from their emotions, like what they're saying or putting off. But I still think that you can get a lot of people involved, especially with virtual communication. You can create a bigger base of people to draw from.
Right, yeah.
But I think that there's more strength in physical community, so.
So you spoke to some of the advantages. You're able to sort of sense more of who someone is and perhaps feel greater empathy and understanding, do you think, when you're in their presence?
Yeah, I think that's true. I definitely think that that's a true statement. But I don't think that there's... that virtual community is like useless or not powerful. I just think that it has less emotion to it. I feel like you can get more of like a snowball effect happening virtually. But it lacks something. Like that baseline of like human understanding that you kind of need face to face.
Do you think some of that is to do with authenticity, that people can't judge that in the same way in a virtual sense?
Yeah, I definitely think that. I think that there's an anonymity to virtual community to where you can't know what truths are happening, if there are any, and like people can use that to manipulate for their own means. I mean, that's the same thing when you're face to face.
It can happen.
That can definitely happen, but you're less gullible, maybe, or able to see signs more clearly that way.
Yes, you at least feel like you know what you're dealing with more.
Yeah. And like, there's something very like, not exactly tangible between like being in the presence of other people and community and like a group setting, and like sometimes like even you can see that with the power of like mobs, like, or riots. There's just like something about body and like a mass of like human like flesh and like power behind that, and like you can't really get that virtually. I feel like virtual community is like a really good aid for an actual physical thing. Like, you can see that with a lot of protests. Like, you have a mass of people who are using virtual community outlets to sort of like organize themselves better, which is super cool. I think that's great. Although it can be kind of dangerous as well.
And what do you think in terms of in a work context, a lot of people are starting to work alone at home. Do you think we still need physical community with our work colleagues in preference?
I think that's really specific to individuals.
Right.
I think like it depends on what you're doing.
Do you think that's less important because it's less emotional, those relationships usually?
I think that as long as you love what you're doing, like any way that you go about it, like, I don't know, like I like to write and I like to be by myself to do that, but I also like, I have to pull from people. Like that's the only way that you can, I get boring by myself. So it's like, I think it's just really specific to what work you're doing.
It's interesting with you bringing up writing. I love to write too, and I like writing letters, which I mean has virtually sort of gone by the by now. But I remember seeing a play that was all about two people who communicated through letters. One was in New York in a bookshop, and one was in London. And they actually never met. They kept meaning to, but they never met. But I'm just wondering, for myself, I much prefer and enjoy writing to people who I have met, even if it was only once or twice. It's sort of different to writing to people that you have never met, like a pen pal, you know, that you might have when you were younger or whatever. Would you see that difference as well, do you think?
I think there's kind of like a romanticism to like the mystique of not knowing who somebody is.
Imagining.
Yeah, because you can make them into anything, and then the writing isn't... I feel like there's less pressure.
Right, yeah.
Because I have a best friend who lives in New York, and I send her letters all the time, and sometimes I just can't write anything because it's she's my best friend and I want to like write something that's worthwhile.
Right,
whereas
yeah.
I was in a coffee shop down the road and someone was like doing something with their credit card and they said their address out loud and so I wrote it down and they said their name and I've been sending them these like really weird like, hey, do you want to go bowling in Coney Island this weekend? Like really strange things and like pictures that I find and it's so much fun because I don't know them, they don't know me.
There's, do they like, reply?
Well, no, because I don't give a return address. So it's just like
postcard stalking.
Yeah, it's great. Like I would never like take it farther than like just sending them weird things, but like there's a solidarity in that too.
Yes,
where it's
yeah.
like
yeah
I don't know, it's great.
Yeah, but do you perceive that differently than of online writing back and forth? Like the physical writing has a different sense to you?
Yeah. I think that's just like romanticism again. Like
yeah,
like a typewriter is so much different than a computer, and you can just feel it.
Yeah,
I think there's maybe something also about like the violence of like hitting all those keys too.
Well, I know they have found, for instance, that physically writing with a pen, they did a research study with students, and those who took notes physically writing with a pen remembered all the material much better than those who typed it into their laptops. And they've even found, I think, with using a tablet with a pen on the tablet, it's not even quite the same with that. So there's something intangible that they're beginning to know about but not know exactly what it is. So perhaps that's what you're speaking to.
Technology's new too, and like pens have been ingrained in us since like cursive, you know what I mean? Like like a repetitive, plus it's just something very nice about using your hands and like letting that inform yourself and like what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much for your opinion. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for talking to me, this is fun.
You're welcome.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. We're going to a break now, but we'll be back after these messages.
I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis states, "I become one with the essence of nature. This process puts me in touch with the soul of all living things." Owners of Doreen's beautiful paintings can vouch for this truth. Gazing at a painting by Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections throughout the United States, in England, and in Germany. Her paintings are on display online at DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com. And experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. I wanted to remind you that coming up in the second hour of the show, I'm really looking forward to interviewing iconic photographer and photojournalist Bob Fitch, who, amongst other things, was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s official photographer. So I hope you can stay with us to hear about his life and art. Back to our topic for this hour, and the last people I spoke to for Out and About were Jenny and John. So let's hear their thoughts.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
I'm Jenny.
And I'm John.
John?
Yes.
Well, nice to meet you, Jenny and John. Thank you very much for stopping for our Out and About feature this week. And this week we're considering, do we still need physical community? One person's definition of community is it's people working together to support each other based in part on their common understanding of each other's reality. Do you think it's possible to gain this kind of depth of understanding from a virtual environment, or do you think we need physical community to do that?
Yeah, so definitely not a question I've thought too much about. To be honest, I think most of my personal community, with your definition of a group of people who support each other, say like my best friends, we are actually more of an online community now. My best friends are all from college, and we're kind of dispersed throughout the country at the moment. So one of the ways we actually do support each other is through online communication. So yeah, I guess for myself personally, I'm not sure if I have too much of a physical community in my life, but the means of having that community through an online communication is really helpful in my life.
Now, do you think that that is different because you met those people originally physically? And so at this point, it's almost like letter writing or something like that. Do you think that's made a difference?
I think that's a good point. I don't think we would have been so close if we hadn't met in college in a physical environment where we actually do get to see each other almost on a daily basis. And it kind of brings me back to how college itself was a community in a sense, where you have a group of people with very similar goals and trying to make friends and get through a pretty challenging, tough 4 years together. And I think that is probably your definition of physical community that really did make a difference in my life back then.
Yeah. And what about you? What's your sense of whether we still need physical community?
Yeah, I think I definitely agree. It's without any physical community, I feel like it's difficult to build real relationships without, at least some level of physical interaction.
Yeah. What do you think we gain from a physical interaction that we don't from an online interaction? Maybe somewhat intangible, I don't know, but I guess it's like we're meeting now and we are getting the opportunity to sort of look at each other. There's nonverbal communication, there's a sense of, I don't know if you want to call it energy or whatever, that we can feel about each other.
Yeah.
If I just sort of chatted with you through a live chat room, it might be a different experience.
Yeah, I think a lot of bonding and sense of community comes through shared experiences, and I think you're rather limited in a virtual environment right now. So I really think a lot of my friends, like, you become friends through shared activities and experiences.
I mean, obviously people have a sense of community online, especially when they do share interests. But I'm just wondering whether the depth of those relationships is the same. There seems to be more of an emphasis on quantity rather than quality in online communities. Do you think that's the case? Like Facebook particularly, I guess I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it probably was also age dependent as well. When I was a little younger, I think getting more friends, and especially say when you're in college and you just got into college, I think somehow it felt more important that I had, broadened my reach of friends, try to get more friends over the years. But right now, I think it's kind of flip-flop, where for me, it's mostly about identifying like which of my friends I really, kind of hold dear to my heart and put in that effort to maintain those relationships. So it's less about, you know, trying to make more friends for me now, this life stage, and more about keeping the ones and putting in the effort to hold close the ones that matter a lot more to me. So I don't know if that answers the question, but I think for me, it's not about whether it's not about the platform necessarily that shapes how many friends versus like the quantity versus quality debate. For me, it's more of, I think, life stage, to be honest, at this point for myself. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I just wanted to, I guess, make a point. Like, I had some pretty close online friends. You know, we used to play games together and actually pretty much on a daily basis, and known these people for years, but somehow I guess there is something intangible about it. You know, we ended up as Facebook friends and, you know, kept in touch a little bit, but I think, you know, over time somehow that it falls off, and maybe that is because of some lack of physical interaction.
I mean, I'm just thinking as you're talking that maybe those kind of friendships, that kind of community is just a different entity altogether. You can't really compare it perhaps with a physical community because you just don't know those people in the same way, but you do know them in some way.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I mean, you know, we'd be on Ventrilo, which is like a voice chat, you know, for like probably hundreds of hours cumulative.
Wow.
And it's just like you sort of know these people, but I guess it is, you know, I don't know if it's fair to say it's a different level of a connection, but maybe it is just a different type.
Yeah. I guess also it brings into question how much what we think and feel needs to be tethered to a sort of physical entity, you know, because often with those kind of relationships, particularly in gaming, you have no idea whether they're 80, 15, male, female, you know, and does that matter? I don't know, but there's obviously some sense of that when you meet people physically. Is that something you've thought about?
I think you do, you know, obviously over time, like you begin to know these people and like, you know, you become Facebook friends and you know a lot about them. But I guess getting back to that, there is something that is different and I don't know how to put a finger on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I think my online channels like Facebook, it helps me, quote unquote, keep friendships a little bit more easily and keep connected to people a little bit more easily than if such a platform does not exist. At least for my personal experience, every person I've added on Facebook as a friend are people I have met in person and at some point in my life we've had some kind of shared experience together, whether we were, say, in a club together or at school, or we went to the same classes, and you know, those ties may be deep and they may be just very short-lived and superficial, but at some point to me, I know these people, you know, from a personal level, but over the years, you know, it's like some relationships fade as natural, you know, and I think when I revisit my Facebook account now, I have like, you know, thousands of friends, but the ones who are actually, you know, closely in my life right now is just but a very small portion of them.
Yeah.
And what it kind of reminds me is just the fact that, you know, I've had these connections with people in the past, and it's just another way to kind of like cherish the fact that I've had this kind of experience before. That's what it was like for me. Yeah,
it's a good way of putting it. And I think also one of the advantages I do see of Facebook is that you may have interactions with people, as you're saying, that were very meaningful at the time, but you don't see them much or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you didn't connect with them, say, on Facebook, you would probably never have any contact with them again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's just a thing where, you know, 2 years later, if you suddenly think, oh, I remember, you know, you can just contact them and there's nothing weird about it. And if you want to kind of begin a friendship again, it's very easy to do.
Yeah, it makes keeping that connection a little bit easier. And I think it does break that, the kind of awkwardness of maintaining a relationship sometimes. Like today I just got a message from a friend of mine from college, who I actually haven't seen in like a couple years, who just reached out to me saying, hey, I got a job in San Diego and I have a coworker who would love to learn more about, you know, this or that, would you have time to talk to this person? And, you know, just out of the blue, you know. And I think that's like, for me, that's like what the value of having these online ties is for.
Right.
You know, we may not be in contact on a day-to-day or even like a year-to-year basis, but, you know, they have a way to reach me when they want to. And
right.
I like that.
So it sounds like both of you are saying that you wouldn't want to do without physical community, but the virtual community definitely.
Exactly.
And just finally, in a work context, you know, a lot of people are starting to work from home, have the home office, maybe not go in very much. How important do you think physical community is in a work context?
Very important. Very important, yeah. I agree. Like, for any of our jobs, we really could just stay home and, you know, even for half the week and work from home and have our meetings online using online tools. It would have been fine. But I think there's something valuable of being in, at your desk or at your office, and people can pop by and just, even if it's just saying hello. But, you know, if there's a spontaneous thing to discuss, you know, you can discuss it. And I work actually in a team where half the team is here and half the team is in another state. So, you know, I actually do feel how there is a slight difference with my relationship with the team, part of the team who's not here locally. You know, I feel like I'm not as close to them, and I'm actually thinking, like, consciously thinking of ways of how I can travel more there so I can build up that relationship a little bit better with them, because it's, we're all part of the same team, and I don't want to feel like one half the team bonds with me a little bit more than the other half.
That's interesting. So. And you'd agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you think it's important at work to feel that sense of physical community as well?
Yeah, and then actually, you know, my work, there's a good portion of it that it, you know, you have to be there. So, but even the parts where you can't, like Jenny was saying, that sense of spontaneity, being able to connect to each other easily, maybe we're not there yet with technology, or maybe it's something different between physical and online, but there's certainly a large difference there that we can definitely measure right now.
Yeah. Well, thank you both very much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thanks very much to all my interviewees this week. I hope you've enjoyed this week's topic and it's given you some food for thought. And if you have any comments on what we've discussed today, do email me through the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. I always like to hear from you. My email is ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And if you go to the website, you can find all my previous shows podcasted there. Had some very interesting guests, interesting topics you might like to check through. And you can also connect with me on social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, etc., should you so desire. So do check out the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. And remember that in the second hour of the show, I'll be talking to iconic photographer and photojournalist Bob Fitch, who, amongst other great things, was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s official photographer. I'll see you after the break.